I don't have a list in my back pocket that I want everybody to fulfill. Requirements that you need to fulfill for me to like you. I just admire the fact that people turn up. I admire the fact that you turn up. What's your reward for turning up? People simply show up. And when you lead things, when it involves people, it's easy to become weary and cynical and hardened. How do you stay soft to God and to people? How do we persevere in Christian service? Because at this point in time, the rewards are limited, aren't they? Thankfully, through the long haul, there are rewards. You might not see rewards now. If you get rewarded now, that's your reward. But I'd rather store up my rewards for later. And I hope that's the case with you. But I think in the church, we've lost one central truth that runs through the whole of the Bible and the whole of history. And it's this. Life's supposed to be hard. Life's supposed to be hard. Nobody at any point said it was easy. Nobody said it was going to be easy. And nobody says that, do you know, when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, that it was going to make it easy. Life's supposed to be hard. But with that comes pain and discomfort and uneasiness at times. And you will know as much as I do how many people you talk to that just complain because of difficult circumstances, their life's challenging. There's underlying presuppositions of their complaints. And that the difficulty that they're experiencing is wildly abnormal. It's really not. Life's supposed to be hard, and you're thinking, John, thanks, you're encouraging us at the start of this new year. And here's another thing, difficult people. Have you ever experienced a difficult person? Or groups of difficult people? If you've been alive for more than 5 minutes, you'll have experienced difficult people. Difficult people are normal. People that break commitments are normal. No getting your way is normal. Being frustrated is normal. Being misunderstood is normal. And it's normal in this world for things to break down. It's normal to have a piece of equipment or technology that fails to function. Like the telly earlier. It happens all the time. It's normal for you to misplace things. How many times have you put something down on the bench or on the table or somewhere, you've walked out the room and you went back and you're like, where did I put that thing? And you're laughing because it's happened to you. It's normal in this world not to have enough money to buy everything that you want. That's normal. And it's normal to be hassled at your job. Whatever you do, it's normal. Because it happens to everybody. It's normal to have less than perfect relationships in your home. Extended family problems are normal. All that is normal. Life's supposed to be hard. And all those things are normal. And here's the encouraging bit. Can we stop that ringing thing? Jesus said this, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." If you're looking for a verse to stick on the bottom of your mirror that you see every single morning, that's a good one. "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You'll have trouble. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's great. Yous are yet to be convinced, it appears. And then the Apostle Paul says, we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, in Acts 4:22. So even when we read through our Bible, at no point is it telling us that it's going to be easy. Peter says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." As though something strange. This isn't unusual. Everybody's experiencing this at the same time. We're all going through painful trials. Maybe you're going through it, you know, last year was a challenging year, and we pray that you have a better year this year. Or it might just have been a few weeks where things were really challenging. That's what happens. "And in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." That's great. We need to understand the implications of that, that he's in charge. We are not. It's not about that. And the message says this, friends, when life gets really difficult, don't jump to the conclusion that God isn't on the job. Instead, be glad that you are in the very thick of what Christ experienced. This is a spiritual refining process with glory just around the corner. Still unconvinced, aren't you? The look on your face tells me you're unconvinced, but that's all right. But we've become like the eggshell generation. Eggs break really easy, unless you have an ostrich egg. But eggs break really, really easily. And because we have this unrealistic idea that life's supposed to be pain-free, we have developed this incredible fragility. Well, where did that come from? People today are exceptionally fragile. You look at the generations before us. You look at the generation that came through, like, the war, the Second World War, and just after that. And if you relate to people, maybe one of your parents or your grandparents that were around about at that time, they didn't seem as fragile as us. I know that's a bit of a generalisation, but you know what I mean. I mean, you can observe it when you think, certainly in my relationship with my father, once in my whole life, there I recall him telling me, "I love you." Know that he hated my guts, that he didn't love me, that he had absolutely no interest in me whatsoever. It just was, kind of know the thing that you say, it's, you don't show any kind of weakness, if you like. Now, I'm not saying that that means showing weakness. I don't mean that. But for them, it was perceived as that was weak. And everything, you never gave up. You didn't just give in. And your boy Brock on the video, he didn't give in. I know for a fact, through speaking to my dad in the past and my mum, that there were many, many times that they wanted to quit. They just wanted to give up. Because as Brock says, it burns, it burns, it hurts, it hurts. And every single one of us has went through that. But that generation had something in them where they were just like, no, keep going. And you saw the coach was there and he's slapping on the ground. He's like, don't you quit. Don't you quit on me. Keep going. Keep going. And he's just giving it. And your boy Brock's just, I was going to say the wee guy, but he's not. And he just keeps going. And he just keeps going. And it's burning and it's hurting. And he wants to quit. And he just kept going. Why do we not have that? What changed? How do you keep going day after day, year after year, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot, and keep going? I have some suggestions. Things that I think if you keep these in mind, it might make things a wee bit easier. But so again, this is the second time I've done this in my life. 3 points. It won't become a habit. But understand that one of the main callings of the Christian life and of the Christian is perseverance. Your boy Brock persevered. He kept going. It was hurting. It was challenging. But he kept going. He was encouraged. He was motivated by the coach. That coach mentored him through carrying Jeremy from one end of the pitch to the other end. But he persevered. He kept going. And the thing is that we need to persevere. But our perseverance isn't like we're in a vacuum and we need to just keep going anyway. God doesn't leave us in this on our own. I've read in my Bible numerous times a verse where it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Or at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, surely I will be with you to the very end of the age. That talks about a God who doesn't know what abandonment is. That's a God who is with us every single step of the way. And there might be times when you feel that he's not, but that just because you feel that he's not doesn't mean that he's not. And you need to persevere. Matthew 24:13 says, he who stands firm until the end will be saved. I think that puts an interesting spin on how we view salvation. Is it a one-off event or is it something that's continuous? I won't comment any further on that. I'm sure you know what I mean. Then 2 Timothy 2 verse 12. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we endure. Endurance. What do you think of when you think of endurance? Hardship. Do you know what I think of? And it is hardship. I think there's this thing called the Marathon des Sables. Have you heard of that? And it's 7 marathons in 5 days. Isn't it? And they do it in the Sahara. It's just for insane folk. It's about endurance. Like the ultimate endurance thing. It's just crazy. And you see these people running themselves into the ground. Like literally. Like you see the pain, the discomfort, the exhaustion. And then at the end they're like, they can hardly move and they're like, yes, we did it. And I'm like, you are mad. That's endurance, isn't it? You think of people who do stuff like that or who do the Iron Man things and they just endure. That's what endurance is. If we endure, if we put up with the hardship, with the trouble, with the difficulties, if we endure, we will also reign with him. Still unconvinced. Hebrews 10:36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Some people are getting there. This is good news. especially for me. So you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Put up with the hardships. Now, if we're strong, you live to be 80. You know, people do go beyond that, which is wonderful for them. But we don't have a huge amount of time here. And if we endure through that, we will reign with him for eternity. That's a long time. It's long. And that's what happens. Then Revelation 1 verse 9, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that is ours in Jesus. Patient endurance. Perseverance. And persistence. You just keep going. Keep going. Like Brock kept going. Under the encouragement of his coach. We have the best coach ever. Jesus is our coach. You might never have viewed him that way before, but that's alright. You can view him as your coach. We talk about him being our father. He's our heavenly father. He's our comforter. He's our redeemer. And when you think what somebody is when they're somebody's coach, they're their motivator. They're the person that brings inspiration and motivation to them. That's what God does for us every day. So is it wrong for us to view him as our coach? Not at all. And when you look at people, and certainly in different sports, the respect that they give to their coach, like their coach can be involved in their schoolwork, their college work, their university work, their home life. They have interaction with their family, with their parents, the whole thing. That's what you gave God when you accepted him into your life. He's your coach. There are literally dozens of exhortations in the New Testament for the Christian to endure, to persevere, to stand firm, and to be steadfast. We're called to that. Why do you think there are so many places where it tells us that we have to persevere? Because life is hard. Life will be hard. Now, you might be like, I've never really experienced that. Fantastic. I'm so happy that that is the case for you. And I hope that it does continue. However, I need to make you aware that there is a very good chance that at points things will become more difficult. And it's important that you're prepared for that. Second point, understand that perseverance is only possible through the power that God supplies. Because I will never leave you nor forsake you. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Therefore he's with us. And he supplies us with the perseverance, with the ability to get through the difficulties that we are experiencing. He gives us the ability to endure. Romans 15:5. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement. He gives it. If you're struggling, if you need endurance, if you need the ability to keep going, to persevere, and you need a wee bit of encouragement, get on your knees. Asking it will be given to you. Seeking you'll find. Knock and the door will be opened. You have not because you ask not. Ask him. The last thing he wants is for you to feel that you're in some kind of vacuum, that you're struggling and you can't go any further because you feel that you're in this all by your own, on your own or all by yourself. And he's like, I'm here. Hello. We're not in this. It depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. Romans 9:16. There will become a time when you're like, I can't do this anymore. I can't go any further. It hurts. It hurts. It burns. It burns. And you want to stop. It depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. And when he is merciful to you, you take it to a whole new level. Where your people who do the marathon de sable are just kind of looking at you and thinking, you're insane. God has got so many other levels than what we think that he has. Then 2 Corinthians 1 verses 8 and 9. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Things were looking bleak. Things were challenging for them. And they were shipwrecked. Things didn't look good. And they even felt the sentence of death. But it happened so that they would not rely on themselves, but on God. They relied on God. They were in that position where it was time, okay, we can't rely on our own strength. This isn't about human will or exertion. This is about the mercy of God. That God be merciful to us. And I don't think they were like, oh Lord, would you have mercy? They're on a sinking ship. They're crying out for their lives. They'd have been probably on their feet. They'd have been screaming and roaring and shouting, God, where are you? Where are you? We need you now. God, have mercy upon us. Would you save our life? They'd have been crying out. They'd have been screaming the whole thing, the whole passion, the whole kind of, we're going to die. Ah, everything. It would have been crazy in a shipwreck. They did live. They made it through. They persevered. But they didn't rely on their own strength. They relied on the strength of God. There will be times when you feel that you want to quit. There will be times when you're like, Brock, have I reached the 20 yet? So when he got to the 20, he's like, nah, that's kind of where everybody else was getting. I can quit. And God's like, yeah, is it the 20s? Just the start. There's so much more for you here. But you need to trust in me. This is not about your will. This is not about human exertion. This is about me. And my grace and my mercy is sufficient for you. How much further can you go when I'm here with you? I'm in it. I'm the one that's encouraging you to make it and take it to the next level. And so, the third point is this. Therefore, understand that we need to pray for perseverance. The human will can only be relied upon so much. I know you're good, but you're not that good. God's better. And so when you're finding it a challenge, that's the place to go to. Under pressure, on our own strength, under enough pressure, we'll quit. If Brock had been left to go and do that on his own and the coach wasn't there, he'd have stopped at the 20. And I don't mean to make light of him, but it burns. It burns. It hurts. And at that point, with nobody offering you encouragement on the side, you quit. You might be able to go a wee bit longer, but you quit. That's what we do. Under pressure, we quit. Because we try and do it on our own, all by ourselves. It's no human toughness that keeps us Christians serving year after year. I'd have been busted in 6 months. I'm not even kidding. I gave my life to Jesus at a time where a whole load of other boys gave their life to Jesus. And we all had similar experiences. We had all similar upbringings. And day after day or week after week, I watched more and more and more of them saying, nah, we like going, but we miss doing this, we miss doing that. And I thought, right, okay. And they quit. Human toughness won't keep us as Christians serving year after year. Based on human toughness, you won't be serving like you're doing at the end of this year. If it's based on you. If it's based on your strength, you're not strong enough to take the hardship that you experience. But what about when, if you're like leading a small group, or if you're involved in leading any other amount of people, and they start bringing their difficulties to you, and you try and go on mental toughness, you'll fizzle out even quicker. If you base this on human toughness, it's not enough. Doesn't matter how many vitamins you take in the morning, even if you have Weetabix. You might even have 3. It's not enough. Human toughness won't get you through. You might be, ah, oh, well, but John, I'm a resilient kind of person. Great. God bless your resilience. Because if it's left to you, you won't last very long. It needs to be God. It's the grace of God that enables us to persevere. I want every person that's in this room and every person that would normally be in this room with us to persevere. I want when they face hardship that they don't quit, because it's no based on human mental toughness. It's based on the grace of God. And we need to pray for the gift of perseverance. We were watching some stuff on TV yesterday, and it was a bit where people are, I wouldn't say spies, but that kind of nature of type of stuff. And they get, let's say, well, torture. I suppose that's the best way. They start off getting interrogated, and it leads to torture. And apparently, like the ultimate one is waterboarding, which is controlled drowning. And usually, at that stage, if people are going to cave, if they haven't already, that's when they cave. And, you know, Willie and I talk about this quite often. I was watching it, and I was thinking about Willie the other night. I watched this film called The Kingsman. Has anybody seen it? It's really, really quite graphic stuff in it, but in some way it's really funny. And so it's about this young boy. He's a bit of a Ned. You know, he wears like the Adidas trackies tucked into his socks with the kind of tennis shoes and the whole thing, and the shell suit top and the skip cap and stuff. And he ends up becoming a Kingsman, who are kind of like James Bond types. And the thing that stood out for me more than it, because he went on to be one, but he didn't start wearing the suit and the bowler hat and that. He wore it at one stage in the movie. And the whole thing is, it's not about behaviour modification. he didn't need to change from being his wee neddish chav type person. Because he was a really intelligent wee guy, just the way he dressed portrayed something different. But he didn't try and be something that he wasn't. It's not about behaviour modification. And so when people become Christians, it's not about behaviour modification. But we saw the whole thing where people are getting interrogated. And they go through different stages. And they do like some really sick and twisted things. Like they had the headphones on this guy. This wasn't in the film, but they had these headphones on a guy and it was screaming babies as if, you know, babies were being hurt and stuff. But they would just do it in short bursts. Then it would stop. Then it would start again. Then it would stop. But they're doing this with people for hours and hours and hours and hours on end. Eventually they cave. And they spill the beans. The boy in the film, the posh boy that was gone for the behaviour modification, he caved. He gave in because they tied him to a railway track and this as if the train was going to run over him. I'll tell you everything. And he spilled the whole lot. When it comes to our mental toughness, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter how well you've been trained to endure this kind of stuff, you will eventually cave. But the grace of God is so much stronger than that and gives us so much perseverance than you could imagine. His will for your life is to make it to the end. When you chose him, because he had already chosen you first, it wasn't a short-term thing. So until next April, we'll do this and that together and then you're off. It's not about that. The Lord has a plan for your life. Because he loves you. And I know I've said this tons and tons of times before, but he thinks you're great. He thinks you are absolutely fantastic. He looks at you and he thought, man, what a great job I did there. Because he knows better than you do. And you're like, how could he think he'd done a great job with me? Well, I know that he thinks that. Because that's what the Bible teaches. Doesn't he make mistakes? So at no point is there any validity in the thought you might have had at any point in your life where I'm just a mistake. Do you know, well, there might even be people in this room where you were told you were a mistake. It might have been a mistake for them, but wasn't it a mistake for God? He knew what he was doing the whole time. And he has a plan and a purpose for your life. But for you to be able to persevere to do that and endure, he is sitting there waiting on you coming to him. And he's like, right, come on, let's go and do this together. And the reason we don't succeed is because we try and do it ourselves. Things will be hard. It's like Indiana Jones. You've got to love Indiana Jones. And it's no easy for him when he goes on all these adventures and all these obstacles are thrown in his way. We have obstacles that are worse than that thrown in our way and we can get by that because he's on our side. And we need to no quit. Based on the grace of God, we have the ability to overcome hardship. Because Jesus says, take heart. I have overcome the world. You don't need anything more than that. In this life you will have hardship. Take heart, I have overcome the world. Do you want to stand? I want to encourage you not to quit. I want to encourage you to keep going. And I want to encourage you to keep going even though it burns. And it's too hard. like Brock Kelly. That impacted me hugely the other day when I saw that. I've seen the film a few times, but just seeing that clip and knowing what it was I wanted to look at the day, and I thought, whoa. It's easy to throw the towel in, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yeah.
I never want to throw the towel in again as long as I live. Do you? Here's the thing. We need to support one another as well as relying on God. Because that's why we're a body. That's why we're a church. That's novel. So, let's, do you know, again, it's the Galatians 6:1 thing. I can't get rid of this at the minute. Carry each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. That's what you do. You get side to side with one another. You know that old song, Lean On Me? Let's lean on each other a wee bit more. You can sing it, Dave, go for it. He's dancing and stuff at the back. So, lean on me. You know, let's lean on each other. Let's lean on the Lord. Because if we have Him and we focus and base everything on Him, the perseverance is there. There's no need to quit. Seek Him every single day for motivation, for inspiration. I don't know about you, I need inspiration every day. Every day. Where do I get my inspiration? From God. It's not the telly. You might wonder the amount I watch, but I get it from God and from reading the scriptures. Yesterday was phenomenal. Just the encouragement that I got. You can get that as well. You're no different for me. And all we need today is just trust in them. Don't trust in your own strength anymore. It got you so far. But when things are really hard, trust in Him. Father, we just take this opportunity. Thank You for getting us this far. But Lord, we don't want the song I'm a Survivor to echo through our minds. We don't want to survive. We want to excel. I pray and ask, Lord Jesus, that as of today, with Your grace, that You would put in us a God-given, holy determination to see everything through in Your strength. Your word says that You would be our strength in our weakness. We ask that You would be our strength now in Jesus' name, and that by grace that we can endure to the end. But Lord, I ask now in the name of Jesus that You would bless us with divine appointments this week, even for people in our own fellowship where they're struggling, where there's hardship, and that we can be a shoulder to lean on. And fulfilling Galatians 6:1. Carry each other's burdens and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. Lord, we pray that we would fulfill Your law in that respect, but not the law. And I just speak to any words that have been spoken over people's lives where you're a mistake. I break the power of that now in Jesus' name. You were an accident. No, you weren't. I break the power of those words over your life right now in the name of Jesus. And I speak freedom to your life now to excel in the purposes that God has set aside for you. And I break the power that says that you're a failure. And I release you for that right now in Jesus' name. Lord, enable us with the presence of God to excel at what you have called us to do. Then we ask this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. If there's anybody here and you would like prayer for anything, sickness,